This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this month is for the month of September of the year 2017. This is when it was first published. It's being put on audio in the month of September of the year 2024, which is a 7-year difference. Now, the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that this message was first published, but it may or may not be relevant for today. But let me say this, when it comes to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, verses 20 and 21. And like I said, this is for September of the year 2017. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The subject title for this message is The Real Gospel is Hate Speech, and this is part number 2. This is of a 3-part message. This happens to be part 2 of that message. Now, when I left off last month, I was beginning to address some of the main reasons behind the idea that any strictly biblical stance on the Word of God, the Gospel, is considered by most people, including a lot of Christians, to be showing hate or bullying. One of the main reasons for this attitude has to do with, believe it or not, some preachers that have placed too much emphasis on prosperity messages, where the message is all you have to do is put your faith in God and He will reward you with blessings. Most of the scriptures that they use as a platform verify that very point. I mentioned in Mark chapter 11, verse number 23, which says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is one of many scriptures in which Christ Himself opens the door for the believer to have hope for their lives, and who wouldn't want that? Jesus spent the majority of His ministry preaching the good news. However, if you will notice, I said the vast majority and not entire. Had he spent his entire ministry preaching and teaching only good things, then there would be no reason for this message because I would be totally in the wrong for addressing this issue. You see, when we preach about God's love for mankind and the lengths that He went through to rescue us, that is the epitome of that love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 5, verse number 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And then St. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." There are many more that promote this same point. But as I mentioned, though His love for us is undeniable, so is His hate for not the person, but the sin that the person is committing. Consequently, we have a serious problem when it comes to the fact that what man takes pleasure in, talking about sin, God hates. So we have a conflict between man and God and Christ. Think about this for a moment. Most of you that are parents, if you have a child that continuously is disobedient to you, do you continue to reward or bless that child by giving them everything they want? If you are a good parent, the answer is no. And why is that? Because rewarding bad behavior only ensures that it will continue and possibly get worse. When dealing with a disobedient child, one needs to show that child that because of their disobedience, they are going to have to miss out on some things they may want. And if it is bad enough, then they may have to suffer some pain. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but," now get this, "the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Then we got Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 13, which says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Verse 14. Now get this part. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell." The only way to get children to act right is through instruction and discipline. Now remember earlier I mentioned that Christ said we were to have faith in God and Him. Well, since Christ is God's Word made flesh, if you go to St. John chapter number 1, read verses 1 and through 3, and then skip down and read verse 14. And since the above scriptures are God's word, then to reject them means you aren't putting your faith in Christ. The vast majority of you in this nation frown on spanking a child because you have been given the idea that it is child abuse and bullying. This means you are effectively saying that God has either changed his stance on this issue or he is somehow corrupt and needs to be rejected. Read the subject passages of scripture that is this message is built on. What you will see starting each verse is the word woe. What this word means, says, or warns is that a calamity and or destruction is coming to those that take this attitude. You see, this is the nature of man. God says something like this, and right away we find all types of fault in it, so we will have a reason to ignore it. And why is this? Because it doesn't meet our approval standards. And what are our standards? It has to make us feel good about ourselves. If it goes against that, then it is to be rejected. Today, that type of philosophy or religion is wrapped up in what man calls political correctness. Some of you don't even like the idea that I am essentially calling PC or political correction a religion. However, if you read the whole definition of religion in the dictionary, you will see that that is just what it is, a religion. The definition of religion, according to the dictionary, this is only the part, it's addressing, I'll read the thing for you. It says, a state of a religious, a nun in her 20th year of religion, the service and worship of God or the supernatural, commitment or devotion to religious faith and observance. Now that part we basically assign that part to what we call a church. But then it goes on to say a personal set, now get this, a personal set or institute, or it don't say and, a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Then it goes on to say scrupulous conformity or conscientiousness. And then the last part says a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. Now, the parts that I wanted to emphasize were the last three, talking about a personal set or institutionalized system of beliefs, scrupulous conformity, and a cause, principle, or system of beliefs. All of those things are part of the definition of religion. Now, see, they describe the rest of the definition of religion that most of the public knows nothing about, because they are too lazy to research things for themselves. So they rely on blind leaders to continue making them feel good about themselves when they should be on their knees crying out to God to forgive them. This is the sin of idolatry. Anytime you put the laws, opinions, and commands of men ahead of what God says, You have crossed the line, and friend, there will be hell to pay. Whoa. Let's look at some examples of what I am talking about. Recently, a few years ago, a gay couple went into a bakery owned and operated by a Christian couple and asked them to bake a wedding cake for them. The owners told them that that goes against their religion and politely refused to do so. The couple left and sued for an untold amount of money, claiming that the bakery violated this couple's civil rights and the First Amendment of the Constitution principle of separation of church and state, which a court agreed with. Not only that, but gay groups and other PC crazed activists boycotted the business and ran a smear campaign against them in the media that effectively forced them out of business. Why did this happen? Because the gay community, or shall I say, address them as the LGBTQ community, have this ludicrous idea that they are a privileged group whose religious beliefs are above God's word. If we look at the First Amendment of the Constitution, you will not find anything about church. It is not mentioned. The word that is mentioned is religion. So, what we have is some men got together and determined that they would completely ignore other religions and focus their attacks on Christianity. Actually, let me be emphatic about this. It doesn't matter if the Constitution did use the word church. God's word is still what it is, and we would do well to follow it. However, if you think about it, why don't these people go into a business run by Muslims and try the same tactic? After all, they take the exact same stance on the LGBTQ lifestyle as Christians does. In fact, strictly speaking, according to Sharia law, they are to immediately be killed. No grace, no mercy, no nothing. While even though God says that they should be put to death, Christ opened the door for them to receive grace and mercy and the chance to repent. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Leviticus 20 and 13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Yet they attack Christianity or Christ. How stupid is that? Especially when a lot of Christians stand by and say nothing. All Christians should have thrown their support behind those bakery owners and the owners of any other establishment that is attacked for standing on God's word. But too many don't want to get involved because we need to show the love of God, they say. Whoa. God tells us not to participate in certain things because to do so will only serve to justify those things that make it appear that God approves of them. I suppose you have heard that according to man, God made them that way. This is why many Christians support them. This is the wisdom of sinful man. Why would God make a person to be like this, then command that they should be put to death for doing what he made them to do? Try this on for size. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What man is attempting to do is, instead of us striving to be more like him, or Christ, or God, we want to make him, or Christ, and God to be more like us. Whoa! There's a price to pay for this stupidity, and we see it rolling across this nation in the form of God's wrath. Anytime you try to take on God, you are in for hell, both here on earth and in eternity, if you don't straighten your lives out. You think this is the only issue that God has against us? There is one even worse than this one. And once again, it is all because of the wisdom of man. I am talking about abortion. More next month. Well, I hope you are getting the drift of where this message is going. See, there's a lot of things that the church is supposed to be doing because we are the ones that actually set the standard for the nation and for the world. I use the phrase sometime, as goes the church, so goes the nation. And if the church is not doing the job it's supposed to do, then that means that the nation can't do what God wants it to do, because its leaders, who are supposed to be getting their marching orders and directions from the church, aren't getting the right instructions. And as a result, they're going out here passing laws and things that they think is showing the love of God, when in reality it's not doing that at all, but rather condemning or putting the nation and the people on a fast track to their own destruction. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre, and I'm going to close this part out of the message out. And we will get together hopefully for part number 3 of this message. So until then, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.